Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe challenges men to take a fresh look at loving their wives in the way that God desires.
I wish as a husband you really understood that the more that you love your wife, the more it comes back to you. That if you really understood that if you take care of your love your wife, that actually you are loving yourself as you love your wife, because it's the greatest investment you can make into your happiness, into your destiny, into your future as well, as you love her the way that she deserves to be loved.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, Mark says that marriage doesn't have to be something you just endure. Marriage has the opportunity to be one of the most powerful experiences you can have on earth. And that's a powerful and practical challenge aimed at men today. So we'll continue our series called In His Image, and we'll learn how we can constantly be renewing relationships. If you missed any of the previous messages in this series, you can catch up online at boldstepsradio.org. But let's get started. Here's Mark Jobe.
So husbands, agapeo your wives, and do not be, literally in the Greek it says, embittered towards them. This word means don't be harsh, rude, impatient, critical. In other words, be sensitive as you deal with them. And let me unpack this for you a little bit, because there's a parallel passage found in Ephesians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul actually describes what it means to actually love our wives. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, it's talking about husbands, and it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, to present to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So husbands, what does it mean to love your wives? Well, it means a couple of things. Number one, it means that you give yourself for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, a lot of people get into marriage to have their needs met. And if you're getting into marriage just so that your needs will be met, chances are you're going to struggle in your marriage. What happens is somewhere down the road, if you get in with that mentality, your needs are not going to be met the way you expected them to be met. And if you get into a marriage relationship to have your needs met, the day will come where you're going to look and say, hey, my needs aren't being met the way I wanted them to be met, so I want out of this. Because I'm giving more than I'm receiving. And it'll ebb and flow that way in marriage. But agape love says, I love unconditionally, regardless of whether my needs are fully met or not, because I'm committed to this relationship and the call to love this individual. So what does that mean? It means that you give of your time, your affection, your attention, your protection. You look out for her interests like Christ looks out for the interests of the church and died on a cross for us. God is calling you as a husband to do the same for your wife, to look out for her best interests, to watch over her in a way that would be for the best of her and the best of her interests, not just to use her or ask how is she meeting my needs, but actually looking out for her needs. The second thing I want you to understand about love is it means bringing out the best in your wife. In verse 26, speaking of Jesus and the church, it says to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing through the water of the word, and to present to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus loved the church in a way that he brings out the best in us. He washes us, he cleanses us, he puts himself, his Holy Spirit inside of us, and he brings out our calling. He brings out the best of us. Listen, men, God has called you to bring out the best in your wife. Occasionally I have a conversation with a man that'll say, you know, when I married her, she wasn't like this. She was sweet and beautiful and laughed and we had fun. And look at her now. Angry, bitter, ugly. And I've had these conversations, and I've said, you know what? We all age. So, you know, she's not going to be who you married 25 years ago, but look at yourself in the mirror, dude. You're not that guy either. But who she is internally, you have something to do with that. Because maybe she's a little angry, bitter, disgruntled because she's been married to you for 30 years. I believe the heart of a woman is like a flower. If it's not nourished and cared for and watered, then it crumbles, it wrinkles up, it withers. But when she's in an environment where someone sees the good, the beauty, honors it, cherishes it, brings out the best in it, then she becomes more radiant. It's your job, man of God, to bring out the best in your wife. To bring out the shine in her. The laugh, the beauty, the attitude of, yeah. And how's that done? Well, it happens in a couple of ways. I think that you call it out in her. And it happens in ways that you encourage her, first of all. Encourage your spiritual life, but encourage her life. Encouraging her to use her gifts, encouraging her to see the good that God has inside of her, encouraging her about what she does well and the gifts and talents that God has given her. The power of encouragement is enormous. Not only encouraging her, but also praising her in private and in public. There's something about praise that brings out radiance. And oftentimes the way that I hear a man talk about his wife, it reveals something about how he sees her and how he speaks to her in private. Like I know you've used the word, I've heard this oftentimes, someone said, that's my vieja. For those of you that don't speak Spanish, that means my old lady. I understand that, and maybe it's endearing to you, but I'm not sure that as a woman, she wants to be referred to as your old lady. How about honey, beauty, babe, gorgeous, my wife, my woman? Something that doesn't refer to just the old lady. That sounds like what you'd speak of a grandmother or not my vieja. I think there's the power of words that could be used to bring out the radiance, to speak into their future, to say, hey, you're still the woman I want to be around for the rest of my life. Encouragement, praise, affirming her gifts and calling. I believe that's part of your call to bring out that in her, to see the beauty in her. I think when a woman is around a man that feels like she's beautiful, that sees the smile in her, it makes that woman want to laugh more. It makes her want to have a better positive attitude. It makes her want to clean up and be ready for a man that appreciates her beauty. But if all she's getting is down and you're nothing and words of discouragement, if all she's getting is discouragement and speaking against her, then she starts to wither up because you are called to bring out the radiance in her. It means providing for her needs as well. It says in verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and they care for their body, just as Christ does for the church. So he also speaks to men and he says, if you're going to love her, you need to actively be the one that provides, protects, and cares. Now, I believe that you, as men, we have a responsibility to care for our household. And I believe that means that you step up to the plate and you have the financial responsibility to care for your household. Now, that doesn't mean that your wife can't work. And listen, it doesn't mean either if she makes more money than you that you're not doing a good job. It simply means that ultimately, she's not the one that should be responsible for the household or to provide for, that ultimately you should be responsible. That ultimately you should be the one that says, I'm taking care of you, honey. I'm taking care of this household. I shoulder the responsibility of caring for this household. We do it together, but I shoulder the responsibility to care for you, provide, watch over you, make sure that the kids are cared for, make sure there's a roof over our household, make sure that we're in a safe environment. I take on the responsibility on my shoulders to look after that. Just as Christ provided for us, and by the way, it says when you love your wife that way, you are actually loving yourself. And I wish husbands really knew this. I wish as a husband you really understood that the more that you love your wife, the more it comes back to you. That if you really understood that if you take care of your love your wife, that actually you are loving yourself as you love your wife, because it's the greatest investment you can make into your happiness, into your destiny, into your future as well, as you love her the way that she deserves to be loved. And then he says, he closes up by saying, and don't be harsh with them. Literally, don't make them bitter, produce a bitter taste, exasperate, render angry, indignant, or irritated. Don't be rude, insensitive, overbearing, or demanding with them. Love them, but don't be harsh with them. Let me just say a word about this, by the way. Men, look up at me. This is really important. The ultimate act of cowardice for any man, is to be physically abusive to your wife. When you raise your hand to a woman, oh, she made me do it. No, no, no one makes you do anything. The ultimate act of cowardice, the ultimate disrespect to yourself, is to beat, hit your own body. And when a man strikes a woman, he is not only dishonoring God, he is not only insulting his wife, but he is degrading himself. No man should ever raise his hand on any occasion, under any circumstances, towards his wife or any other woman, period. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know that's how my father did. I don't care what your father did. That's not you. And if it was how you were raised, and if you engaged in it, then you need, after this service, get on your knees with your wife and say, forgive me that I ever struck you, raise a hand against you. Forgive me because I insulted God, I insulted myself, and I insulted you. Apologize profusely for it.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job. On our website, you'll find tools and resources aimed at helping you renew your relationships, like Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Do-It-Yourself Guide to Building a Family That Lasts. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. More on that book later. But first, let's return to the second half of this message called Renewing Marriage. Mark Job may be addressing husbands right now, but there's a takeaway here for everyone.
He says, don't be harsh. Don't be harsh with your wife. Maybe that's something that you never struggled with or had problems with. And by the way, to add insult into injury is to strike a woman and then try to convince her that it's her fault that you struck her. That if she was just different or hadn't spoken this way or if she didn't do this, then you would never have to strike her, making her feel like it's her fault that you've raised your hand against her. And another form, by the way, this is not a suggestion from the Word of God. This is God telling us as men, And he says, and do not be harsh with them. Another form of harshness oftentimes found in our culture, and maybe it's who you were, and maybe you've taken it in from your old life, and it peeks its head into your new life, but it's not the new you in Jesus Christ, is the harshness of words or abusive language. And some men think that they're justified as long as they don't raise their hand. Listen, if you need to hit something, go hit a window, go kick a car, go pound on the dirt, get your aggression out there, but don't lift your hand towards your wife. And another thing that men do, they applaud themselves, oh, I've never lifted my hand, but boy, you have abused with your mouth. Your wife, she deserves to be respected. Completely and fully. So to demean her physically, to demean her verbally, to use the B word against her, to speak in any way that's condescending against her, to attack her her appearance or her intelligence or her personality, to demean her in any way should not be close to any household of God. You are a man of God. That may be who you were. That is not who you are in God. That has no room in the house of God, no room in your marriage, and no room in front of your children. In fact, let me simply say this to you men, because maybe you'll understand this better. If you had a daughter, would you want a man to talk to your daughter the way you're talking to your wife? No way, man. I'd break a bat over their head. They would never do that. Yeah, you can come close to my daughter. The way you talk to your wife, you are coaching her. You are conditioning her. You are teaching her how her future husband, what she should expect from her future husband. And if you are demeaning or abusive to your wife, you are telling your daughter, teaching your daughter, instructing your daughter, it's okay when your husband abuses physically or verbally. You should take it and accept it. You are conditioning her to be in an abusive relationship. I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen the cycle repeated over and over. A woman that grows up in an abusive household marries an abusive man because that's what she knows, that's what she accepts, and that's what she tolerates because she's seen it in her household. Men, that was an old cycle. We are cycle breakers and legacy makers. That is not who we are. That's not, that may be who you used to be, but that's not who you are in God today. And by the way, to close up, here's what it tells us in 1 Peter. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In other words, be understanding, try to understand who they are, and treat them with respect as a delicate partner, as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I love this verse, because what God is saying to the husbands is, if you refuse to listen to your wives, if you refuse to be sensitive to them, if you refuse to really meet their needs and listen to them and treat them the right way, then God will not answer your prayer either. It's leverage. God's saying, you're not going to treat your wife the right way? Then don't talk to me. You know, that job promotion that you've been saying, oh, I really need it. Oh, God, listen to my prayer. Really answer my prayer, God. If I only got that job promotion, if I only got it. Your wife comes up to you, quiet woman, I'm trying to pray. Don't you see me? I'm trying to tell God what. Goodbye. God says, you're not going to listen to her? Pray. I'm not going to listen to you either. The moment you start listening to your wife, the moment you start trying to understand her, the moment you start spending some time with her, the moment you start listening to her heart and living with her understanding, then you open up the door so that the God of the universe listens to you as well, so that your prayers are not hindered. I've told you this before. Some of you say, I'm fasting and praying that God would answer my prayer. You know what? Some of you need to stop fasting and praying. You need to take your wife out to a good steak meal. buy her some flowers, sit her down, listen to her for an hour and say, talk to me, honey. And then suddenly your prayers get answered because finally you're treating your wife the way she needs to be treated. And God says, aha, now I can answer your prayer. I believe that your marriage doesn't have to be something that you just endure. I believe it can be one of the most powerful experiences that you have on the face of this earth. Let me paint a picture for you. The old you is two people that get old that can barely stand each other. You have your bedroom in one other bedroom, your bed, and he's got it in another place. He watches TV in that room. You watch TV in another room. Your kids are gone, and you have very little together except you don't want to get divorced and divide up the assets. You really can't stand each other. You spend as much time out of the house as you can with your friends. She feels neglected and spends time shopping and with her friends and doing her things. You live life separately. And really, there's very little intimacy, very little communication, very little understanding among you. You tolerate each other. And when you die, you'll miss each other. But like you miss a dog that has been there in the house for a long time. But there's very little heart in it. Some of you are moving in that direction. That's the old way. But picture a new way. That you take your heart and you start turning as a man, your heart towards your wife and start seeing what you have unappreciated for so much time. Start speaking into her life and saying, God, I'm going to love her the way you've called me to love her. Invest in her. Listen to her heart, her emotions. Tear down the walls of bitterness that I've had towards her. And I'm going to start loving her unconditionally the way you've called me to love her. And you say, I'm going to start supporting and backing and encouraging him and coming behind him, knowing that I'm in his corner together. And so the kids move out. And now, yeah, you're sleeping in the same bed together still. Laughing together, spending time together where you think, this is the person I want to hold hands with and stroll down the park and share time together and share stories. And instead of being in separate places watching television, you're cuddled on the couch together and you're praying for your children and celebrating and still laughing and having fun and taking trips together and feeling like, hey, all that we've been through, it's so powerful and great that even as we grow older, we still are deeply in love with one another, blessing our children and grandchildren as they snicker and say, look how grandma and grandpa still love each other. They're crazy, aren't they? What are you creating? What are you building? What are you developing? I think really it's your choice. Yeah, so you don't understand how broken our marriage is. I don't. But I know I serve a healer that can take the most broken and dysfunctional, heal it and mend it and change it into something powerful and good.
Well, Mark, we've spent the last 3 days describing how God designed the marriage relationship. It's been very much needed. It's a call to action, isn't it?
It really is a call to action. And so I know that you may be listening right now. Maybe you're extremely discouraged with your marriage. Maybe it's broken down. Maybe you feel like it's dysfunctional. I want to encourage you. It's not too late.
Never is, yeah.
And so take initiative. Go to a counselor. Join a marriage group. Sit down and talk with your husband or your wife and say, hey, let's make this work God's way. I believe I've seen it over and over and over again. God heal marriage miraculously when people are willing to surrender to his pattern.
That's how it works. Thank you, Mark. Well, that wraps up our week of eye-opening messages here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. If you've been challenged and encouraged by what you've heard this week, won't you drop us a line and let us know? You can connect with us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. And then while you have a few extra minutes this weekend, be sure to check out the book we mentioned earlier in the program on relationships. It's by our friend Dr. Gary Chapman, and it's called The Do-It-Yourself Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. Don't wait any longer to renovate your relational space. Request your copy when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And you can do that when you visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or by giving us a call. The number to dial, 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And then don't forget to connect with us and let us know you're listening and how we can pray for you. We'd love to hear what's been working in your life and what could use some improvement. And if you know someone who needs some guidance on what the next step is, be sure to point them to our website. Just go to boldstepsradio.org, then click on My Next Step. It's on the left sidebar. We'd love to be a part of that spiritual journey. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Be sure to join us again Monday when Mark shows us how to infuse a new culture in your family. That's coming up Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.